Well, Shabbat Shalom on the last day of a feast of unleavened bread. Let's blow the trumpet.
Well, fix the thing. Follow the rules.
Shabbat Shalom. Trumpet is sounding good.
Where are the people?
That's the mystery. Well, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kachalcha ben Mashiach, and this is the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Chag HaMatzot. But I'm still going to eat matzahs other days, and Shabbat Shalom. And today is a solemn assembly, a tzedet. So let's ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, of the universe, we thank and praise you for the blood of Yeshua, for forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord and God, for gathering us together this week for your feast. It's been such a nice week, Heavenly Father. We can feel the difference. I thank and praise you, Lord and God, for showing us that it's a seven-day feast. Bless and anoint this day, and bless and anoint the coming feast, the Feast of Weeks, and also the Feast of Tabernacles. Heavenly Father, bless the study. Let it be fruitful for everyone. Help us in every endeavor in our lives. I pray you'll lead, guide, and direct us the right way and the way you want us to go, not the way we want to go. Bless this day and bless everyone here. Heal them, heal their bodies, their minds, their souls. Touch them today, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit amongst us. Be with us today in a special way. We keep your commandments, Father. If we're doing anything wrong, let us know, please. You know we'll change it. We're not hard-hearted and stiff-necked. We'd love to meet a prophet of yours. Heavenly Father, bless this day in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's a solemn assembly. Atzeret in Hebrew. And today, let's see, right now it's April 19th, 21st century. Jehovah has his own calendar. We're in the 21st day of Nisan. Ha'aviv. What do you think of that? We completed it. We actually made it. Huh? Yep. Pretty soon will be, another week will be the new moon. But anyway, I guess the only spring feast and holy days we have to think about at the moment, the only one left is the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest, Pentecost, which is June 4th, 2017. There'll be two Sabbaths in a row, so that's nice. We'll have 2 days from Friday night to Sunday night, and that's really good. Remember, we're counting weeks, not omers. This coming Saturday will be the first of the seven Sabbaths we're told to count. And you guys know about what an omer is by now, and a sheaf, barley, and all that. Some people are still counting the omer. We're counting Sabbaths. And it's offering time. Again, you know, of course, every feast we do the offering. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, which we did, as I commanded you, in the time appointed in the month of Ha'aviv, Abib. For in it thou camest forth out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Then we have the Feast of Harvest, right? And that's the Feast of Weeks, and that's the wheat harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. And then the Feast of Ingathering, the last of the harvest, I guess, of everything else which is left, which is at the going towards the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So, 3 times in the year shall all the males appear before Jehovah thy God. And that's supposed to be Jehovah thy God. So anyway, we all bring an offering, so we don't appear to the Lord before the Lord empty. 3 times in a year shall all the males appear before Jehovah the God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. There it is. That's Deuteronomy 16:16. It says, and none shall appear before Jehovah empty. Of course not. Every man shall give as he's able, according to the blessing of Jehovah thy God, which he had given you. So whatever God gives you, give something back to God. And of course, we have Solomon doing it. He offered He definitely did a big time. He offered burnt offerings unto Jehovah on the altar of Jehovah, which he had built before the porch. even a certain rate every day, often according to the commandment of Moses, on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, on the solemn feasts. Three times in the year, even in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, obviously, today's study is the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? That's why we're here. That's the whole reason we're here. And there's the root from the atzeret. It's a atzar, and it's a prime root. It means to enclose, by analogy, to hold back, to also to maintain, rule, assembly, keep, refrain from doing anything else. It's a Sabbath today. Stop yourself, withhold yourself. You see that? Atzeret means the same thing. It's an assembly where you're supposed to actually assemble with people of your brothers and sisters, obviously, on the holy day. It's a meeting. Isn't that amazing? So we're having another meeting today. We're meeting. There's the word solemn. By the way, that atzeret means solemn 10 times. It means assembly 9 times. These are all the verses. And it means assemblies 1 time. And it means meeting once in Isaiah. The same word. So here's some solemn assemblies. We have Leviticus 23. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. And on the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. It's a solemn assembly. So solemn assemblies doesn't seem like you're supposed to work, huh? Here's Numbers. On the 8th day you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall do no civil work, no melechet avodah. Deuteronomy 16:8, 6 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread. On the 7th day shall be a solemn assembly, just like today. Thou shalt do no work therein. 2 Chronicles, on the 8th day they shall make a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Nehemiah says, also from day to day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the Torah of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day was a solemn assembly, according to the manner. They all followed exactly what was prescribed. And it's a solemnity. And that word solemnity even means moad. And it's interesting to read what moad really means. It's moad, or moadah. It means properly an appointment. That is a fixed time or season. So it's not any time or whenever you feel like it. Especially a festival, conventionally a year, by implication, a assembly as convened for a definite purpose, and that's what we're definitely doing. Technically, the congregation, that's what we're the congregation. By extension, the place of meeting, also a signal, as an appointed beforehand, appointed sign, time, place of solemn assembly, congregation. And it just keeps going on. You know, set a solemn feast, appointed due, season, solemnity, synagogue, time appointed. So it's basically, it's a public meeting. We all get together. And that's what it's all about. You don't sit home and just do your own thing. So we'll read a little Bible today. Today's not going to be a long study because we all know that we were, you know, aiming towards this day, right? Exodus 12, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even from the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Whosoever shall eat leavened bread from the first day unto the 7th day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. None of us did that, thank God. In the 1st day there shall be a holy convocation. We did that. And in the 7th day, today, there shall be a holy convocation. It's a public meeting. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every person must eat, that only may be done. And that's all we did today. That's all we did, right? So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, we didn't do anything, that we didn't make anything up, right? Everyone agree? Because we're all in this together. Holy convocation, we didn't eat any leaven, you know. So I'm trying to, you know, always examine ourselves. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. We've done that. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, we ate the Passover, and we had unleavened bread until even till today, to the 21st day of the month. And today is the 21st day, right? So we're doing everything it says. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. And there is no leaven. For whosoever eats... You know what? When I read that, it almost reminds me too that there should be no leaven found in your houses. I wonder if it means people too, because they're leavened. You know, they're full of sin, you know. But that's just...
It doesn't say that.
Doesn't say that, but I always get that opinion. Even though we didn't have anybody come... We didn't have anybody come to our house anyway, so... We didn't have any... 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from a congregation of Israel, whether you're a stranger, in other words, not an Israelite born, or one born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitations you shall eat unleavened bread. Talk about going over it, over and over and over and over and over and over. Of course, Leviticus 23 says the same thing. These are the feasts of Jehovah. That's why we're doing them. God says they're holy convocations. We proclaim them in their right seasons. And these are God's feasts, right? That's what you got to get in your brain. These are God's feasts. What should I be doing? Where should I be? And what should be going on, right? And who should I be with? Those are pretty good questions to ask. 6 days work. 6 days work shall be done. And I could tell work is looking forward to being done on our property. But not today. But the 7 days, a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation, coming up with the seventh Sabbath will be coming up soon. With the weekly Sabbath. Yeah. We're not going to do any work on the Sabbath of Jehovah. In all your dwellings. In all my dwellings. And we even got the people out here trained. You know, people even ask us, I'm sorry, I won't call you on Friday night. And these are the feasts of Jehovah, which you shall, they're even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. And we're doing it. We did that. The first day we did the Passover, the 15th day is unleavened bread until the 21st. I'm not trying to be redundant, but I'm just trying to show you all the places it says the same thing. Holy convocation, the first day. 7 days is a holy convocation, do no work therein. Here's a chapter of Numbers 9. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, if any man of your posterity be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off. It's not because you just you can't opt out of it. You can't opt out. You can't be, you know, no matter where you are. So even if you're in a far... If you're far off, so that means you can't do it unless you join the, you're supposed to be with the congregation. That's pretty good. That's an interesting verse. So anybody that's unclean by reason of a dead body or being a journey far off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto Jehovah. Of course, the 14th day of the second month, he's going to eat the same thing, roasted lamb, bitter herbs, and unleavened bread. And they're not going to leave anything to the morning, nor break a bone thereof, according to the ordinances of the Passover, shall they keep it. So it's the same thing. Numbers 28, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices, made by fire for a sweet savor unto me, shall you observe to offer unto me in their due season. And that's what we do. And this is Numbers chapter 28. And it goes right into the Passover there. 14-day Passover, 15-day unleavened bread. Then there's the two Sabbaths on the end of the feast. There's a 7-day feast, and it's capped by two Sabbaths, right? Unleavened bread we ate, and it's a holy convocation. We got together. We did all that. I'm not going to read all this to you, but we did all that. These are all the things they have. And the seventh day, there's a holy convocation. We did that. We're doing that right now. And it goes all the way from the beginning of Genesis to Deuteronomy, which is the last book of the Torah. Same thing. We're observing the month Ha'aviv and keep the Passover. We did it. For in the month Ha'aviv, Jehovah thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Interesting. So... There it is, dude. So in other words, that's like a whole 40 years right there, you know, or at least. because they had to wander in the wilderness there, and they, at the end of Deuteronomy, they got out of there. So, same message, same commandments. Notice the same commandments? Same thing. God doesn't change. Some people think now, because maybe 4,000 years expired almost, that things change, but God doesn't change. We did the Passover. Some people get mixed up when they read this verse because they don't have reading comprehension. It says, "Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Jehovah thy God out of the flock or out of the flock and of the herd in the place which Jehovah thy God chose to place his name there." That means if the goat wandered into their pens or wandered around, you're supposed to go get it.
Right.
Not a goat, a lamb.
You gotta get the lamb.
Right. No goats, no cattle, no rams. "And thou shalt eat no leavened bread." 7 days, we did it. Unleavened bread, it's the bread of affliction. Unleavened bread is the bread of affliction. And you might say, well, maybe it's not your favorite bread, maybe it's not your favorite. But it's the bread of affliction. I like it a lot. And God always wants to remember, I guess when I read this thing about coming out of the land of Egypt, it always reminds me of, we should remember how God brought us out of our last lives of sin and think back that we were doing, everything we were doing was nothing righteous, and we were just thought we were having a ball maybe, but if we died, we would have ended up in the hell. It's pretty horrible. So with a mighty hand, he brought us out and made it known unto us. "No leaven shall be seen in all thy coast 7 days." There was no leaven in our coast, where we dwell, that is. I mean, where we dwell. The coast where we dwell. And We did the Passover, and it was such a nice thing. We don't follow Judaism, which a lot of people do, and that's really bad. And I don't understand why they just can't read the Bible. Some people, after reading these studies, they always go, "Do I have to eat unleavened bread?"
Yeah.
And I say, well, it only says it I don't know how many times. 6 days, pussy, unleavened bread. 7 days, a solemn assembly. Here we are. This is Deuteronomy, right? Was that Deuteronomy? No, that was Deuteronomy 16. Mm-hmm. Hezekiah kept the Passover with joy. I like to read that. Have a little drink of water real quick. Chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles. "Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto Jehovah, God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. And they could not keep it at the time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Neither had the people gathered themselves together at Jerusalem." So they all had to go there. No matter where they were, they had to stop what they're doing, quit work, and come to Jerusalem. See that? All the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto Yehovah, the God of Israel, at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, "Ye children of Israel, return again unto Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against Jehovah God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Nor be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto Jehovah, and enter into his sanctuary," amen, which he had sanctified forever, and serve Jehovah your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Quite a letter, huh? If you turn again unto Jehovah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, so that they shall come again into the land. For Jehovah your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. What more can you ask? So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn, because these people were so wicked, and mocked them. Isn't that horrible? Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So it wasn't everyone, but some of them were just weasels. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of Jehovah. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. Wow. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away, and cast them in the brook Kidron. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings in the house of Jehovah. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. And there was many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had this charge of killing the Passovers for every one that was not clean, to sanctify them unto Jehovah. For a multitude of people, even many of Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Jehovah pardon every one that prepares his heart to seek God, Jehovah God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And Yehovah hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Praise the Lord. And they must have had a beautiful heart there. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days, period, with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised Jehovah day by day, singing with loud instruments unto Yehovah. We didn't sing loud instruments over here every day. We should have came over here every day and sang a couple of songs. It says day by day. Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of Jehovah, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days. We did that too, offering peace offerings and making confession to Jehovah, God of their fathers. Amen. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep another 7 days, and they kept the other 7 days with gladness. Isn't that amazing? For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. Can't even imagine what that looks like. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. That's a lot. And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place. Hallelujah, even unto heaven. That's where God dwells. In the heaven, wherever that is, not in this universe. Josiah kept the Passover. That was Hezekiah. They did it with joy 7 days. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto Jehovah in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. These guys did it on the right month. And he set the priests in their charge and encouraged them to the service of the house of Jehovah. And said unto the Levites that taught all, the Levites seemed to be the teachers, huh? And the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto Jehovah, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now Jehovah your God and his people Israel. and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of King of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son. And stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families and the fathers of your burden of your brethren, the people, and after the division of the families of the Levites. So they killed the Passover and sanctified themselves and prepared your brethren that they may do according to the word of Jehovah by the hand of Moses. This is Josiah. This is a long time. It's a lot. Many years after Moses. Josiah gave to the people and of the flocks, lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings and for all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. So besides the Passover, they did a lot of offerings too. And his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests and to the Levites, Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jehaliel and rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. Coniah also and Shemaiah and Nethaneel, his brethren, and Hashabiah and Yael and Yazabad, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. I can't imagine where all these people, picture where, not even all the animals, but the size of the land it had to be on. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses, according to the king's commandment, and they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them. That's a lot of flame. And they removed the burnt offerings. And then they had all the burnt offerings that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people to offer unto Jehovah, as is written in the book of Moses. So did they with the oxen. These were just offerings. And they roasted the Passover with fire, according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings saw they in the pots and in cauldrons and pans, and divided them speedily among all the people. Talk about eating a lot of meat. You think it's okay to eat meat? And afterward they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests and the sons of Aaron were busied in offering of the burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared for themselves and the priests, the sons of Aaron. And the singers, there's always the singers, they're always there. The singers of the sons of Asaph were in their place according to the commandment of David, and Asaph and Heman and Yeduthun, the king's seers, the porters waited at every gate. They might not depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So all the service of Jehovah was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of Jehovah according to the commandment of King Josiah. Isn't that amazing? This is when they found the book of the Lord in the house of the Lord. They didn't hesitate. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days. There was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. I wonder who did a better one, Hezekiah or Josiah? And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was the Passover kept. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, I'm not going to read the rest of that, because that's when he did the wrong thing. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. He got killed. But anyway, you notice he kept the Passover. And here's Ezra chapter 6. The elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet. These were all contemporary prophets. Haggai, Zechariah, and they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus, Darius, Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. That's Iran. And the house was finished, the temple. They rebuilt the temple on the third day of the month Adar, this is the 12th month, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king, and the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, they kept a dedication, the Hanukkah, of the house of God with joy, and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering, and for all Israel, 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. Notice he-goats were, they were sin offerings. Isn't that amazing? And they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. So the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. Isn't that amazing? They all knew what the calendar was. They all knew what the day was. Too bad they didn't write down what year it was. I'm writing down now the 21st century, you know, and the day. For the priests and the Levites were purified themselves, and all them that were pure, killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity and for their brethren the priests for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of the captivity, and all such as separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek Jehovah God of Israel, did eat. That's what we did. And kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. That's what we did. We try to separate ourselves from everybody, the filthiness of the heathen, and turn the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Amen. So we see these people did everything with all their might and joyful hearts, and they kept the Passover, the unleavened bread, and besides that, they did all the sacrificing, the offerings. Amazing. Thus, this is Ezekiel 45, and we're almost finished. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, in the first month, in the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the posts of the house and upon the four corners of the settle of the house, of the altar, excuse me, and upon the posts of the gate of the inner court. Now this is the first month, the first day of the month. Yeah, New Year. And so shalt thou do the seventh day of the month for every one that erreth. So on the first month, in the seventh day, everyone that sinned, for him that is simple, so shall you reconcile the house. So he's getting everything ready. And then on the first month, in the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. It's a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. So it's a feast for 7 days, and you eat unleavened bread. But you notice how on the first month of Aviv, everyone's supposed to be repenting and getting ready to do the Passover. Right? That's something to think about. And getting ready, just like they did. And upon that day shall the priest prepare for himself and for all the people the land of bullock for a sin offering. And 7 days of the feast he shall prepare a burnt offering to Jehovah, 7 bullocks, 7 rams without blemish, daily the 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. So every day I always ask God to cover us in his holy blood. For anything we could imagine or can't imagine or anything we don't even know about, you know. We don't do any offerings anymore like that. And then the end is, we see that even here we have now 4,000 years passed and the time of Yeshua. Yeshua's parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. They're doing exactly what everyone just left what they were doing, stopped work, stopped everything they did, and they all took off and went to Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And that's a custom according to the Torah, as the Torah prescribes. And when they had fulfilled the days, the 7 days, they returned. And that's what we're doing. We're fulfilling the 7 days, and I guess we're all going to be returning. You guys are returning back to Nashville, so are we. You're returning back to California. We're all going to be returning. Anyway, amen, briefly, because we'll be back for the Sabbath. Anyway, thank you for being here. It's a quick study. I know you probably know most of these verses and heard them throughout the week. but I wanted to just repeat some of it again for you to show you that I believe we're in step with all the people of God, from Moses to, you know, Hezekiah to Josiah, you know, Solomon, Yeshua, Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezekiel. We're in step with them. We're trying our best in this century. At this point, we have Yeshua. They didn't have him as a sacrifice. So we only do as what we can. I could see a couple of things we could improvise on. Like every day, we could sing some songs. We could do that. And we could just make sure we're all clean every day and make sure we're always right with God. And but anyway, Lord willing, I hope to see everyone again for the Feast of Weeks, which is also a holy convocation. It's the same thing, except it's only one day. And it's not 50 days anymore. And there's two Sabbaths in a row. And then the spring feasts are over. And then we have a little dry spell there, because it's summer and it's hot, really dry. And then, of course, as we start going towards the end of the year, the seventh month will show up, Ha'etanim. And that's something that hasn't even happened yet. So that's really important to keep. Anyway, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your studies, for your words. We keep your commandments and we follow exactly what you dictated and commanded Moses. And we do everything, Lord and God, with Yeshua as our sacrifice. And we praise and thank you, Lord, the freewill offerings of our lips, the calves of our lips. We thank and praise your holy name. May God bless everyone today and lead, guide, and direct us in everything we do, Father. Bless the singing today, the food. Let it be to the glory of the living God, the edifying of our bodies. May God give us more brothers and sisters and show us where they're at. May God bless everyone that we have now and all the people we don't even know about. I know there's other people around somewhere. Show us where they are, Father. Lead, guide, and direct us to them, or direct them right to us. We open this facility, Lord and God, so we can have a place where people can show up. Heavenly Father, if someone else made a place, we'd go there. But we did it right here, Father, and we thank and praise you we could even have the wherewithal to do this. And may God bless you and be with you and keep you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. You know, I was thinking just now when I was praying, I remember when we first started many, 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 many years ago, over 16 years ago, Carrie and I wanted to have a reading group, you know? And so we ended up at some place and everything went great. Some couple of people showed up for the reading group and they left. Everything, they were hugging us. Oh, it was so wonderful and all this kind of stuff. And when I went home, I got emails saying, well, why did you have a reading group? Who are you? Is this the Angelo and Carrie show? And I thought, so I wrote back to the person. I said, well, the only reason we had a reading group is because you didn't have one and didn't invite us. And that's the way we feel even right now. We're the ones that got a place. We're renting the place. And here it is. We established this place. So you don't have a place we can come to. That's why now we made this available. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for being here. And anyone have any questions or comments, come on up. Thank you for being here, everyone. What's that say? The old salt. What does that mean?
Oh. Amen. Enjoy the study. So appreciative for the sacrifice of Yeshua. Like last night, we were reading, I think it's Numbers 28. And even if we just had to read about all the stuff the priest had, I mean, we must not have had much time for other stuff, especially around the feast and stuff, because they had to do all these offerings of, you know, lambs or rams or whatever. And really thankful we don't have to do that, but we could read it again just to be thankful that we don't have to do it. But bless the Lord, and Shabbat Shalom to you all. God bless you.
Well, Zach, I don't feel like that. I don't read it to see all the things we don't have to do. I read it because I see that Yeshua is all the he is our sacrifice, and we are now priests unto God, and that all fulfilled its course. It wasn't like we are so happy we don't have to do that. You know, that's not the right way to look at it. I wouldn't mind doing it today if there was such a thing, but we don't have to. I mean, not that we don't have to. It's not required because Yeshua is the Passover. So it's to be thought about a little bit different than, you know, you thank God that we don't have to do it. We do whatever's required at our point in time. And just like now, we're realizing the three feasts of God were supposed to be together. And that's just the way it is. And anyone who doesn't do that... Right. Right. I'm just saying that we're learning a little more and more the orthodoxy of God, and he has three feasts, and this is the way it is. But I'm not going to, I'm happy that we can do whatever we can do and praise and thank God with the calves of our lips, the sacrifices of our lips, and make sure everybody always thanks and praises the Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Anyway, God bless everyone. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that we offer up spiritual sacrifices now that, like, when we read this and we see how much they did have to do, we could think, you know, what things are there, like I was thinking last night about songs or praises or prayer and so forth that we could do still. We do offer up the calves of our lips, but... also the point that they did a lot throughout the feast, and it was a big deal. Yeah, I mean, there were daily things, and then there were things on the Sabbaths, and then there were things on the new moons, and especially during the feast, you know?
Those priests were really busy working.
Very good. The book of Hosea says, take with you words and turn to Yehovah. Say unto them, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. And Apostle Paul says basically the same thing. By Yeshua, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. Isn't that nice how there's the physical and the spiritual? And there's the physical and then the fulfillment in Yeshua. Amen. And that's what we do. Hey, Zach, by the way, forgive us for the other day. We wanted you to sing and you went to go put your... contacts in, and we're all old, and we've forgotten. Shut the room.
Have you given thought to the requirement of refraining from sin?
We know that we have Yeshua, who is the sacrifice for our sins, and that's all we need. So that's all I can tell you. And we're not going to have a song and dance about that. So Yeshua is the sacrifice. And he says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anyway, God bless everyone, and Shabbat Shalom on the last Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Zach, they want you to sing a song because you didn't do it the other day. Gotta put this on. Why? I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I'm gonna just see what
he's saying. Let me get this up here. I can.
Then keep an eye on him.
It's too late.
How come the red dot's back on him?
Just, yeah, that one I'm going to look at.
And it's a song we wrote for our Reverend Brad here. And it's a fresh song, so let me try to do the best I can here at the moment.
Okay, very good. And thank you for that song, Unleavened Bread. So I'm going to say thank everyone for being here. And we'll be back a little bit later. And Zach, I forgot to shut off the recording. I guess you recorded.
That's good.
He sent the recording on email, too.
Okay. Well, anyway, God bless everyone. And have a wonderful day. And go right ahead, Zach.
You recorded it at the end of the message?
Yes. That's great.
Yeah, yes, I did. I forgot to shut the recording off. Anyway, God bless everyone on the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll talk to you a little bit later. I better stop the video, huh?